Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. How's everybody doing out there? Hopefully all is going well as spring fast approaches for us. All right, on this episode, my guest is an old friend of mine, beautiful Billy Maverick. Billy and I go way, way back, and we talk all about that. We talk about Billy and his brother, Eric Draven. We talk about the latest comeback of Billy Maverick and much, much more. So let's take a very quick break, and when we come back, I'll have my interview with Billy Maverick. Phil Sundry Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilSingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. All right, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time, I'm being joined by an old friend of mine, beautiful Billy Maverick. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Well, let's talk about Billy Maverick, because I feel like Billy Maverick's an enigma. You're kind of a quiet guy. I don't think you talk about yourself a lot. So let's get to know you a little bit. Tell us, growing up, were you a wrestling fan? That might be a loaded question, but
not so much as maybe most wrestlers. I liked the Saturday morning Memphis stuff. The Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, that type of stuff. But I didn't go much beyond that. So not a super huge fan, but, you know, it was real to me when I was a kid.
Well, and for context for the listener, you grew up in, like, southern Indiana, correct?
No, I grew up in central Kentucky.
Really? Okay. So you're not from that southern Indiana where you had a lot of your career. So you're from central Kentucky. Okay, so that does change the context a little bit, right? Because you're in the hotbed, in that area for the Lawler and the Memphis stuff, right? You're right there in that area.
Yeah.
So you're watching this, right? And that's obviously right. Southern wrestling.
Southern boy, you know, Southern fan. When did it cross your mind? You just said, right, you're not this huge fan where you consumed everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when did it occur to you that you wanted to try this wrestling thing and give it a shot?
You know, it never did until, I don't know if you're aware that my brother is Eric Draven.
That's right. I am aware. We're going to talk about Eric.
He has always been a huge wrestling fan, and, you know, he's trained up through the ranks and paid his dues, and he's done it all. And he was starting his own weekly show, and this was back in the late 1990s. And at that time, camcorder was kind of new technology.
That's right, yeah.
And I offered to come up and videotape his show for him. And when I got there, I kind of felt like I was in as good or better shape than a lot of the wrestlers. And it looked like something that I could potentially be good at. And so, you know, we just kind of got together and I had him train me, and it kind of took off from there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. There's a couple points there I want to talk about. First of all, you talked about being in better shape, right? I know this is a weird term, but I've always viewed you as a little bit of a body guy because you have had a good physique. Especially comparatively to a lot of guys, even back then. Yeah. Was that always just been a thing for you? I mean, have you always been, you know, kind of you lift a little weights, kind of, has that always been a thing in your life?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, growing up, I kind of got into weightlifting and fitness at an early age. And, you know, you're right that early in my career, as far as wrestling goes, it really helped me having you know, one of the better physiques out there, you know, not to brag, but
yeah, no.
I brag do call myself want. Beautiful Billy Maverick. So
that's right. Brag all you want.
Although I didn't name myself that, that was given to me organically. So
there you go. Well, and you brought up Eric Draven, your brother, right? He's again, a guy that's not, it doesn't get talked about enough. I don't think, cause you talked about him doing his weekly show, still running shows.
Yes.
And, I mean, it is what a run, a veteran guy in the Midwest. Seemingly, you know, if you have worked in the Midwest, you've worked with or around Eric Draven somewhere. You just can't help it.
Well, so not only that, if you know, if I could brag on my brother a little bit, he is the current AIWF world champion.
That's right.
And he's traveling. He's got three nights in Alabama this week and three nights in Tennessee next week. He's going to Arkansas. He's going to Buffalo, New York, Detroit. He's defending his title all over the country.
Yeah.
And every time I talk to him, I get on this guy, I say, you know, if Billy Maverick did half of that, the entire world would know about it. But he doesn't put himself over enough.
No.
And he's getting better, but, you know, you're doing all this, you've got to let people know.
Yeah. And it's funny because I remember first seeing Draven working around him, and that would have been in HBW Columbus, Indiana, when he was still working there.
Yeah.
And he's doing the face paint, you know, the that kind of thing. And your brother's always kind of reinvented himself and always, you know, done this right again. When I saw him again, he was, you know, doing the face paint and this and that. And he's always evolving. And it's just remarkable to me that after all these years, he's still out there, still doing his thing, still relevant, maybe more so than ever. And it's one of those things where so many guys lose their passion, and Eric's just never, he's never done that. He's always, I mean, that's a lot of work for what he's done over the years. I mean, essentially going on 30 years, 25 to 30 years, essentially, give or take, Eric Draven's ran weekly shows almost ever since that time.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, but I mean, he's trained half the guys in Southern Indiana. You know, he takes guys out on the road with him. He gets them booked. You know, and he works, and even when he's out working in other states, his show is still running.
That's right.
I mean, he's got a lot going on there, and it's his passion. It's all he's ever loved, as far as I know. And you know, I don't know of anybody that loves it more and who's been more dedicated to it than him.
Yeah. So let's dive into this. Your brothers, you and Eric, right? And again, I don't know the family dynamic. Did you grow up in the same household?
We did up until, I don't know, I would say freshman year of high school for me. We moved to, that's when we first moved to Madison. And shortly thereafter, I moved in with my dad, and we moved to Florida for a little while, and he stayed in Madison. So.
Okay, so the majority of your childhood, and I would assume you said you weren't this over the top fan, right? You like the Memphis stuff.
Right.
Eric was viewed always. I always saw Eric as just a he would consume probably everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so what's it like, you two growing up as young kids? You that kind of a, we'll say a fan, but then we'll say Eric is this really avid fan. Did you guys, I mean, was Eric always trying to get you to wrestle him, try out moves? What was it like? What was the childhood like with Billy and Eric?
Oh, you know, I'm 4 years older than him, so we always did our own thing growing up. I was more into like baseball and sports type of stuff, and you know, I really didn't pay much attention to what he did unless he got in my way. So.
Gotcha. All right, well let's play off that because I'm a huge ba I'm a baseball fan. Are you still a
Yeah.
baseball fan?
Yes.
What's your team?
It's the Reds, unfortunately, sometimes.
See, I'm a Cardinals fan, so oof.
Yeah, okay, arch enemies.
That's okay. We're having our rough spot too, but I always had an appreciation for the Reds, right? Because I grew up in Central Indiana. We got the Reds on the radio. That's what I listen to the most, just because I listen to anything I could, watched and listen to anything I could wrestling wise, or excuse me, baseball wise. So I don't hate the Reds. I always had an appreciation. Went to lots of Reds games in Cincinnati. Was a avid there in the 1990 into the 1990 season. So no problems there. At least you're not a Cubs fan. That would kill me a little bit. But and then you and I, we crossed paths. I'm trying to remember, right? Is when I ran the shows as Midwest Regional Wrestling, and I used you. I made you my champ. I'm trying to remember. I knew of you, but I'm trying to remember. I mean, I saw you around, but it's hard for me because this is the early 2000s. I've tried. Did you have a website or something? How did I know of you? I wonder. Or
Yeah,
how
I
did I
don't
contact you? I wonder.
You know, I don't remember. I did have a website. I've always been really good at self-promoting myself. So I had websites and you know, MySpace pages and Facebook pages or whatever that was, what it was at the time. But you know, at one point, you know, I was fairly well known around the region.
It had to been one of those. I mean, I knew of you, obviously, had probably seen you. I don't know if I made contact through Eric. I don't know if, again, I don't know if it was through a MySpace or was whatever it may be. Somehow you and I connected. You worked my shows. You were my champ. And I always say it was a really odd time for wrestling. It was early 2000, late 90s, early 2000s, because for independent wrestling, because there wasn't social media, right? Again, if you had a website, you were advanced. If you had a website and an email address, man, that's pretty advanced for the time. People were still sending tapes, doing this and that, just figuring out, contacting people through who you knew. And this is prime Billy Maverick time. So, you're as you're making a name at this time, were you reaching out to people, trying to make connections, or were they coming to you? Was it just as you got known there in Southern Indiana, working with and for your brother, that you just kind of got a name, people started coming to you? I mean,
I'll tell you what did it for me is, you know, at first I sent out a few tapes and things like that. You know, I sent a tape to, you know, Joe Bailey at BBW and, you know, a couple other places. I think, Appalachian Wrestling something. I don't know. I do remember, I vaguely remember you contacting me and out of the blue. And I don't think I knew who you were. No offense. But yeah, I was happy to work for you. But you know, and at some point, I think that the turning point for me was there was a match I did for Premier Championship Wrestling down in Harlan, Kentucky. And I teamed with Buff Bagwell and we were against Rip and Rage, and it was on WYMT, like on the major channel. I don't know how they worked that out. And then a lot of people saw that. And then, you know, my friend Daryl, who ran Hardcore Wrestling at the time, Hardcore Championship Wrestling, he immediately got in touch with me and started booking me. And, you know, from there, I ended up in the PWI 500. And then I was just getting more work than I wanted. And I was turning down more bookings, and I didn't really have to look for any. So it just kind of took off from there once I got that exposure.
Yeah, it's such a wild. Again, you mentioned Joe. That's such a bring back some memory with Joe Bailey, right? Obviously, you know, J.C. Bailey. It just so many memories there. That Midwest and you know, and the quote unquote scene or whatever you, I don't know what you call it.
Well, J.C. Bailey's very first match was at my brother's show.
Really? See,
I always, most people don't know that. Yeah.
I always loved J.C. and he did work for me a little bit. Was going to work for me more, and it, you know, it dates. And I did, again, I didn't do, I only did a handful of dates. I'll be frank, my shows didn't draw very well, but I will stand by the matches and the cards and the shows I used and the guys I used, because, again, it's like I had this thing, right? This vision of what I wanted. And it began with Billy Maverick. I had, again, wherever I had saw you or heard of you or whatever, I was like, I want this guy to be my champ and I want to build around him. And again, you know, just names that, you know, a lot of the listeners may not know, but again, I had Billy Maverick and Vinny Vachetti as a big feud. And it was fun because I felt like you were kind of established in the region and he was kind of new. So I thought, oh, that'll work, right? We'll make Vinny a little bit. And I think he could, you know, it was fun, right? We did this series of matches with you guys. I think a chain match. I don't know what it was. I can't remember at all.
Yeah. I remember the chain match. I remember that one.
And, it was just, you know, I stand by what we did. And, but like you said, in this time period, you were really working a lot of veterans, right? I mean, there's stuff out there with you and I don't even know who it all is. Hawk, lots of guys.
Yeah, I worked the Road Warriors. I worked Dusty Rhodes and Jimmy Valiant, Coco Beware. I mean, I can name
just a slew of guys, right? And
they had Mikey, Ted DiBiase. He did a traveling ministry show, and he would come in and hook up with one of the whatever local promotion he could run off of their license, and he would always call me, and I always worked his shows when he came through.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You did lots of stuff, right? You said you turned down bookings. You worked a lot of these known veterans who were still they were still great just coming off TV, right? There just wasn't a lot of TV work, so they were having to just work these kind of shows.
No, I went when I worked the Road Warriors, one month later, Hawk died, and 2 months later, Animal was back on TV on SmackDown with Heidenreich as the Road Warriors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was such a peculiar time because there wasn't a lot of places to work.
Right.
And there was obviously some places that were just, I don't know, the kind of jokes you kind of shunned off that you didn't want to work for. But it was so different from now. But again, all these guys you worked and these shows you worked and everything else during this time period, was there something, what really stood out to you as you're working on these guys? Again, you're not like this over the top avid fan, but you're, you know, you, like you said, a fan of Memphis. Was there something that you just said, oh, wow, this is fucking cool that I'm in this position that really stood out for you?
Yeah, it always makes you feel good when, you know, you're the guy that, you know, the promoter chooses or the booker who wants, you know, they want to bring in a name, they want to make it look good, you know, and obviously you bring in a name to build your audience for the next show. And so if you're the guy that goes in there and your job is to, you know, make the guy look good, and the guys, you know, like Tracy Smothers, well, I worked Tracy Smothers and I was supposed to put him over, and we're in the middle of a match. He says, I'm putting you over. And I got in big trouble with the booker for that one, but Tracy took the blame for it. But it always makes you feel good. And then, you know, of course, you know, I wasn't a huge fan, but I know, you know who these guys are, and you know, you appreciate the history, especially, you know, when you've lived it a little bit and you learn a little bit more about it. You know, of course, the Road Warriors, you can't deny what they contributed to the business. Yeah. And I, you know, I feel extremely fortunate to have done that, because there's not a lot of guys that can say they did that.
Yeah.
You know, what always got me was, you know, these veterans, they've been all over the world, and you work with them one time, and then the next time they see you on a show, even if you're not working them, they remember you, and they want to hang out and stuff. So it's just a good feeling, really.
It was so weird. I mean, it's any of these guys that I was ever around or was on a show with, it was so peculiar to me, because they would walk in and they'd introduce themselves to everybody.
Yeah.
And that always blew my mind at the time. Like, of course we know who you are, but it's like, you know, there was a respect thing. Right. And there was a, It was just I always appreciated that, right? When these guys who were off TV, legends on TV, would come around and introduce themselves to everybody else, like, "Hey, I'm just one of you guys."
Yeah, that's one of the main things I learned, working on the roads and stuff, outside of my initial training. When you work and you learn the etiquette, and this is a business built on respect. And I still do that to this day. When I walk into
Sure.
a building, I shake everybody's hand, including, the ticket taker and the person running the camera and the security guards. You will shake everybody's hand, you introduce yourself. It's just
That's right.
that's just what the foundation of this whole business is.
Yep, absolutely. It's one of the first things I was ever told. Like, if you're going to be in, right, this is what it is. Everybody's important. This is what you do. But around the, it wasn't long after all this, right? Where, Billy Maverick's in the PWI 500, and you're working all these guys. It wasn't here too much later. You kind of stepped away from wrestling. Why was that?
There's a few reasons, but to be perfectly honest, my ex-wife wasn't a huge supporter of what I was doing. So,
Yeah, been there.
and then it kind of takes some passion away from you, and it gets to you when you're working full time, and you're doing 4 and 5 shows a week, and you got to get sleep, and you got to work out, and then if you're fighting about it the whole time, then it's just not worth it anymore. And it just got to be where it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
That's kind of why after all these years, I kind of came back, because I felt like I left a lot on the table and I still have quite a bit in the tank. And I thought, well, why not one last run and see what happens? And, oddly enough, there's still a lot of people that remember Billy Maverick, and
There are.
there's still a lot of love for me out there,
There is,
oddly enough.
and Billy, I gotta. I'm gonna throw it in your face here a little bit. I did come to you a few years ago to do an interview and said people want to know where Billy Maverick is. They want to hear from Billy Maverick. You're like, I don't think anybody will remember me. And see, I'm just saying, you have now said that I was right.
You were right. And I was kind of trying to distance myself from the whole
I
business.
understand it. I understand
But
completely.
the first time I walked into Madison, and there were 2 or 3 fans from back in the day that instantly knew who I was. And
Man, wrestling fans never forget.
some of them, they're hardcore,
That's right. So when you're away for that, it was a decent period. Did you watch any wrestling? Did you stay in contact outside your brother with anybody from wrestling?
No, not at all.
So
No,
you were
I went.
done. You're like, a clean break.
Right. Yeah, I talked to my brother about non-wrestling stuff, and I would see his stuff every now and then on the internet, but I didn't pay attention to it. And I deleted a lot of my Facebook friends that were wrestlers, just because I didn't have any love for it, and I just kind of wanted to be away from it.
Yeah.
So.
Did your brother ever ask you during that period, "Hey, why don't you come back? Just do one, just do a couple shows, just do a." Did he ever try to get you? I'm sure he had to have, right?
He did a few times, and actually did a couple. I mean, I didn't for the whole time. I did a couple of spots for him. I did one show when one of the other wrestlers, he lost his house, and I came back to do a charity thing to help raise money. And there was another one I did. I can't remember what it was for. And then, I just kind of joked about it before last year, and he just out of the blue said, "Hey, I got an idea if you want to come up and wrestle." And so I thought, well, let's give it a try.
Sure. Okay. So what, right? Obviously, I mean, and again, I don't want to pry. You don't have to reveal anything you don't want to reveal. It sounds to me like maybe the personal life got a little more in line. Right. You maybe personally in a better place. And
Absolutely.
okay. And your brother, right, approaches you at the same time you said maybe you're having some thoughts. So everything just kind of maybe fell in place. Did you just what inspired? What was it that really just clicked and said, "You know what? I'm going to give this one more run and see what
Well,
happens."
I don't want to bash my ex-wife, but I am remarried as of last year, and I've been with my current wife for about little over 4 years now.
Well, congratulations.
And yes, thank you. And I've never felt so supported. And, you know, she's all in with whatever I want to do. And she's stands behind me 100%. And it's just a whole different, it's a whole different game now, because when I show up and, you know, she's my biggest supporter, and it just makes the world of difference. And so that's it. Just, you know, behind the scenes type, the relationship that you're dealing with is
sure.
pretty much the whole thing. Without, you know, I want to, like I said, I don't want to bash my ex-wife.
No. Again, there is a lot of that. It's just situational, right? It's just different situations in life that right. Sometimes the timing's right. Sometimes it's not. It's just, you know, it is what it is. That's the way life is. I've always said that if Billy Maverick had come along, say 20 years earlier, we would view Billy Maverick and talk about Billy Maverick in a whole different sense. I always felt like if you had been a wrestler or in the mid 70s to the mid 80s, somewhere in that vein,
yeah,
you would have been perfect. You would have fit right then. Back in the, you right. know, the territorial days.
Oh yeah, I get that a lot. I even get, you know, if I had started even 10 years or less earlier, I
sure. probably,
you yeah, know, I hear that a lot. I don't know, you know, there's anything to that, but I do get that a lot. And then I also get that, you know, if I'd have stuck with it and not walked away when I did, I probably could have gone a little farther than maybe some of the other guys.
Maybe, but you, I mean, you drive yourself mad if you play the what if game. I mean, it's just,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, you could have stuck with it, and 2 days later, you know, had a severe injury, never had to do it again. Who knows? But you have.
I did a show. I think Indianapolis, maybe, and I was main event, and on the undercard was CM Punk, Chris Hero, Colt Cabana.
Sure.
And I was the main event. So
yeah, it's funny, those guys. Again, I mean, those guys. Mad respect to all those guys and everything else. And you see what, you know, they've all done. I mean, you know, right now, CM Punk, I mean, we're main event in WrestleMania coming up.
Right.
And everything else. But it's funny that at one point in time, this was just like everybody else just scraping to make it in the Midwest. And it's so funny how so many of us that were doing this in the Midwest. I mean, we crossed paths with CM Punk and yeah. everything else, because he was just another guy on the road. And sure, you know, a lot of people look at him and say, oh, yeah, there's something there. But you never knew, right? There was a lot of people yeah. that you looked at that and said, oh, there's something there.
I mean, it wasn't always there. He grew into
right.
it. He got better. Like we all do.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, Chris Hero, I don't think he ever got his due. But
no.
At one point, he was terrible, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Obviously, worked a match with him, and he was awful. But he got a lot better, and, you know, he turned into one of the best in the independents.
It's again, I love Chris Hero, don't get me wrong, but it's so funny to remember back in those. I mean, at one point in time, he was the wife beater. It was it was different. And everybody starts somewhere, and
right.
you never know, you know, who's got the commitment, who gets the breaks, right place, right time, you know, where it's going to go. And again, right, you've made this choice to come back, but it's obvious looking at you and looking at recent pictures of you, that the one standard that's always been there, and you've said since your childhood, you've obviously kept yourself in great shape. I dare say, to me, as being a guy that was, you know, saw you work, had you on my show, I think you're in better shape now than you were in your first run wrestling.
You know, I think probably right now I'm in the best shape of my life at 52 years old. When I first did my first match back last year in July, I was 270 pounds. You know, I was still, I was still lifted and I was still strong, but I was heavy. And, you know, right now I'm 210 and I'm in probably the best shape I've ever been. So
yeah. I agree. I mean, again, you look great. And I mean, a lot of guys, I don't think you're like 52, but you've come back, right? It's so, after this gap, you're working with a lot of wrestlers now. It's a completely different generation of wrestlers than from where you were before.
It's crazy. I'm working, when I go to my brother's shows, there's two or three that are kids of wrestlers that I used to work with.
I know.
It's insane.
It is. It's. I mean, the business is different overall.
And then there's kids on some of these shows that they weren't even born, you know. When, I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, there's a kid 18 years old. I'm like, you weren't even born.
Yeah. Do any of them ever look at you? It's like, what are you doing here?
Well, you know, first show back in Kentucky, and you know, of course, I did my brother's a couple shows in Indiana, and then my first show back in Kentucky, and I came in with Sean Christopher. We did the Amigo tag team gimmick, and on the card was Zodiac, who you know he n never stopped working. I worked him back in the day, and you know, I've got a whole series of matches with him when he was average white guy.
That's right. Me too. I worked average white guy too.
And then I walk in the locker room, and there's Zodiac sitting there, and I just, you're still here.
Oh, major shout out there. He's one of the greatest guys. He's
Yeah,
such
I
a good
love him.
guy.
He's a good guy. I love that
Yeah.
guy.
He is I miss the average. I know he's, I think he's pulled that out a time or two over the years, but man, I miss the
Yeah,
average white guy gimmick. That
I
was so
kind of like
great.
the I like the Mad Taylor he's doing now, though. It's
It
unique.
is good. It is good. Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy, very good mind for the business and everything else. When you're working these young guys, again, you an 18-year-old, right? All these guys who
Yeah.
could, I mean, I don't mean this just really, get legitimately could be your kids.
Right,
You're young
yeah.
enough. Do you have you had any difficulty working with them? Just from a style standpoint, has there ever been a problem?
No. You know, well, I haven't worked a lot of the younger guys yet. Well, I did a couple of, I worked a couple for on my brother's shows, but he trained them, so they're, you know, they're used to the way I work.
Yeah.
And you know, the guys for the most part have been very respectful to me, and I don't know if it's a they know who I am or if it's a respect your elders type of thing, but everybody's gone out of their way to be respectful to me, and you know, I couldn't be more thankful for that. But
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you
you
know,
come in through it through a time, right, where it's like a call it in the ring, right?
right,
Go.
yeah.
And
Yes.
that's a different mentality now with a lot of guys.
Oh yeah, they have every move planned out, and I'm like, there's no way I could remember all this.
No, me neither. I, you know, I never could have done that, right? You'd work out a few spots here and there in the finish and whatever. And I was always scared to death of forgetting one of those.
Yeah.
I could not imagine working out an entire, I couldn't have done it. Never.
Yeah, we had a you know, I don't want to break too much kayfabe, but we did have a match Saturday night, and it was me and Sean Christopher against Frank the Tank and Oblivion. We were third match, and we didn't even see them until midway through the second match.
Yeah.
So and we didn't even know what the finish was, and needless to say, it wasn't what we put out, but we got it done.
But again, it probably didn't, that probably didn't feel awkward to you, right? I mean, that was just not
The
your.
yeah, no, we the match itself, you know, you can work it, and you know, it just flows, but you know, the finish when you're not really sure what's the plan,
Sure.
it kind of pisses you off a little bit, but you know,
Absolutely.
it's
Yeah.
part of it. Part of it, I
Yeah,
guess.
yeah, of course. And you talked about, right, we were talked about a style standpoint, a work rate, whatever you want to call it, standpoint. But again, a lot of the guys you worked with, were friends with, or no longer. You said there's some that are kids of, children of
Yes.
some of those you were with. Have you found any difficulty in relating to them on a personal level where you're in the locker room and you're just like, I don't know what to talk to these guys about?
You know, not really. I don't really talk to them about stuff like that, you know. And usually there's the veterans that we all kind of migrate together, and then the younger guys will just kind of watch and listen. And I think maybe that's how they pick up on that, you know, the older guys know me, and so they should probably, you know, show me a little respect maybe. But no, you know, I don't have any trouble. And there's a couple of these younger guys that, you know, they're getting a lot of work, and you know, I've kind of become pretty good friends with them just through, you know, working shows together and just talking, you know, just about the things that people talk about. But
Yeah, it.
nothing major, no problem connecting on anything like that.
Yeah, it's funny because I found over the year, right, wrestling's a, a unique equalizer in a lot of ways, because there's I friend what I would call friends with lots of people with, you know, there's big age differences, and there's nothing I would have in common with them outside of wrestling.
Right.
Nothing for us to talk about. I mean, we're talking different views in everything, music, movies, whatever. I don't know what we would talk about, but because we have maybe some form of a common interest within wrestling, I've been able to connect with them and talk with them. And I, you know, want to consider a lot of these guys friends.
Yeah, I've got friends that I've had for 30 plus years that I don't even know their real name.
Me too. Yeah. And it's wrestling's unique in so many of these ways like that. It's again, you were gone all these years, but if you when you came back and if you stepped into a locker room and saw someone that you saw back in 2000, it would be like the next day from that, and you guys could probably pick up a conversation you had back then.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That's
It's
exactly what happens.
I've never seen anything like, I mean, I have people that I have worked with in my shoot jobs 20, maybe even 10 years ago, that if I saw them now, I wouldn't know what to say, what to talk to them about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
Wrestling's so weird.
I got this new promotion starting up in Louisville, and Victor Lewis, Vic the Bruiser, is the booker,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
and he heard I was working again. He immediately called me, and you know, it's just like no time had ever passed. You know,
Yeah.
we're just like friends, like we always have been,
So peculiar.
and then suddenly, you know, Terry Bull's associated with them, and Randy Royal's coming back, so it's going to be a whole reunion.
It is. Yeah, but you're saying a lot of names I know. And but I always viewed you as you always struck me, again, maybe I'm wrong. You always struck me as a very quiet, kind of reserved guy. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that the real the my Billy Sands is a reserved, quiet guy. Billy Maverick is a little over the top, a little egotistical, and when I flip that switch, you know, I go from one person to the other.
Yeah, and again, another peculiar thing in wrestling, because I'm kind of that same way, right? In my real life, I'm not a talker.
Right.
I choose my words wisely. I like to listen, sit back, do my thing. But when I'm sitting here talking to you or talking to whoever, or if I'm, you know, if I were back in, you know, when I was doing an appearance or whatever, as they've done, completely different. No, I felt different. I could talk, ramble, no problem.
Right.
It's so peculiar to me. It's like this outlet for me to get this out. And now though, like with you, right? You're obviously now you're this, we've talked about, you're this veteran guy around a lot of guys that are perhaps much younger. You're probably mostly much younger than you. Do they look at you and do you feel like kind of a locker room leader? Like, do you feel like you back in the day with in a locker room with the Road Warriors, in a locker room with Dusty Rhodes and some of these guys, do you feel a little bit of that responsibility of if someone needs something, needs some guidance, needs some advice, needs whatever, do you feel like I should step up? I should say something. They should be able to come to me.
I do a little bit, you know. I always want to help guide and show them the right way, more lead by example. Now, back, you know, before I stopped wrestling, I would be more of that. You know, I would tell somebody when they did something wrong, or, you know, I'd be the first one to tell them when they did something right. And, you know, I did a lot of that, a lot less than I do now, because, you know, right now I'm just coming back, and, you know, maybe they're not quite sure if they should listen to me,
Yeah.
but I do, you know, I try to help them when I can, if they'll listen. You know, that's a big part of it. You know, if the guys, if that's, then it's the same thing as it was back in the day. Some guys will listen, they want to learn, and those are the guys that get better. And some guys, they're just going to do what they're going to do,
Sure.
and you can just waste your breath on them.
Yeah.
But,
Well, and as you continue to work more, right? You're out there more and you're doing more shows and you're around more often. Obviously, I think that role's going to grow, right? And people are going to maybe look for you a little more, and look at you more. Are you comfortable if that role expands and people do look at you a little more and want to come to you and say, "Oh, hey, Billy, what did you think of that?" Or, "Hey, Billy, we got this. What do you think?" Are you comfortable if that does expand and you have to take on more of that leadership responsibility in the locker room?
Sure. Yeah, I welcome that. I mean, if somebody looks at me and they think, well, this guy has done it the right way, and I feel like, I've always tried to do it the right way. If somebody appreciates that and they want to learn, they want to grow, I absolutely would relish, trying to help these guys out and try to help them succeed. I learned a lot through, my successes, but I learned more through a lot of my failures. And I can tell these
Yes.
guys, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. And if people would listen, then you can help people. It's just if they're willing to learn. But I would absolutely embrace that,
Yeah. So what do you consider one of, if not the biggest difference since you've returned with the business in general?
it's to me, everybody keeps telling me that oh, the business has changed so much. The business has changed so much, but to me, it hasn't changed at all. And when I walk into a dressing room, it's exactly the same as, of course, back then, everybody wasn't sitting in the back on their phones and stuff. But
Yeah.
I haven't seen that much has changed, really. I mean, I don't, like I said, I mostly gravitate to the veterans unless, around some of the other guys more, but I really haven't noticed that much difference. I think it's, a timeless like an art, and it's not really any different. And it's just amazing to me how much hasn't changed.
Yeah. I think so too. I mean, at its core, wrestling never changes, right? It's the same motive, right? The same goal. Sure, maybe the moves are a little different here and there, and
Not me. I'm doing the same spots I did
well,
20 years ago.
that's a, I don't think we're gonna see Billy Maverick take some of the wild risks that some of the guys, right? I don't know if Billy Maverick's gonna go for that viral moment.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I've watched some of my old stuff, and I did more flying than I remember doing, but I don't have any intention of doing much of that now.
Yeah, there's some of this stuff that I see now. I'm like, shh, there's no way I would do that, right? It's like, especially for what what some of those guys are making for the night. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't do
Yeah.
that.
Well, and then it gets to be so much that it just looks choreographed,
It
and
does.
it's just too much.
It is, yeah, and it's, it's. I don't know. I could go in for on and on about this, right? It's with a lot of entertainment. It's all about. Everybody's got a short attention span, right? It's about the clips and the moment and this one spot or whatever. And that doesn't interest me. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't care who dove off what and threw what, and I don't want to see just a moment. I want to see a decent match that makes me feel something from start to finish.
Yeah, I watched a few, a couple weeks ago, just trying to get back into it, and I watched an old Von Erichs and Freebirds match, and it was, one of the biggest matches ever, and it was so hyped up, and all they did was punches and kicks, but it was
Yes.
just so much emotion, and it just
Yeah.
seemed so real.
It's timely. Again, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Back in the day, I would consume everything. Now it's like, I can't. I try to. I watch bits and pieces, but if I try to watch a lot, I can't relate. It
Yeah.
doesn't strike me in the same way. But I can watch something from 1985, and it still, even if I've seen it a dozen times. It still hits me the exact same way. I don't know. That to me, that's one of the biggest differences. It's just, I don't know. It's just some of the drive is not maybe not to make the crowd feel. It depends on
Yeah.
who you are, right? Sometimes instead of popping the crowd, you're trying to pop the boys in the back, and
Yeah,
that's
you
weird to me.
You're absolutely right. So I guess, yeah, you're right about that then. And that is one thing that it was a thing back then, but it's more of a thing now, is it's not about telling a story, it's about getting your stuff in. And these guys are doing these moves, and they're hard to do, and they're acrobatic, but it doesn't look like it hurt. It
No.
doesn't look
Yeah.
like you're connected. I mean, it looks like the guy knew it was coming. And I think I
Yeah.
can't stand anything worse than watching these guys do these spots where the guy's faking he's going to throw a clothesline, and it's a mile over the guy's head, and the guy's
Yeah.
ducking before he even starts to throw it. And I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Again, I was always told you either duck the clothesline or you're gonna take the clothesline.
Yeah,
It's not
exactly.
on the thrower to make you miss. It's on you to make it miss.
If the spots to duck the clothesline on me, I'm going to try to take your head off.
That's right. And you know, and again, I'm not. I don't. You know, I'm not. I don't want to. I'm not here to disrespect anybody or put anybody down. Again, I know it is what it is. Everything changes. It's not just a wrestling thing, right? It's an entertainment thing and all. There's lots of changes. So be it. Whatever. I don't want to sound like that old guy, you know, yelling at clouds or whatever. But
Yeah.
if people like it, more power to them. Like, good for them. I don't care. But it's not my kind of wrestling. I'm glad guys like you, guys like Aaron, Eric, excuse me. Guys that, you know, like Eric trains are still out there doing, you know, doing what I see to be pure, true wrestling, professional wrestling.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, if I'm going to go out and watch something, I'm going to look up something like that to watch. So since return, right? You had this big gap. You've come back now. You're in, you know, starting to, I won't say you're in the midst of your return yet because you're just kind of getting started. What,
Well, I'm getting right now, I'm getting more bookings than I had planned on.
sure, right.
And they keep rolling in, and I'm like, well, I really wasn't planning on working this much. But I did consciously, on some of my brother's shows, ask to work some of the younger guys because I wanted to see what I needed to work on.
Yeah.
And which is my cardio for sure. But I worked this JJ Lawson, who's tremendously skilled,
Yeah.
and he's fast, man. And I was blown up like within 5 minutes. And we still had a good match. But then I said, I appreciate that so much because that shows me where I'm at and where I need to be.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of fans or the general public don't understand, right? There's an in shape and there's an in ring shape. It's different.
Absolutely. It is definitely different. I
Yeah.
was doing, I would do 10 miles of cardio every morning before work, and I would do 5 minutes in the ring and be blown up and couldn't breathe.
Yeah,
So I'm just
absolutely.
not training right. And so I've completely revamped my training now, and I'm getting better. So.
Yeah. It's again, wrestling is such a unique thing. What have you set any goals for yourself since returning? Do you have things you would like to accomplish, things you would like to do, or are you just kind of rolling with it and just having fun and seeing where it leads you?
Yeah, I just kind of want to see where it leads me and just kind of want to do it as long as I enjoy it. And people keep asking me, well, how long are you going to stick around this time? And I said, well, until it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it right now. And I don't have any aspirations of carrying any titles, but won't say it won't happen, but
Sure.
I'm not planning on it. I'm not asking for it. I don't need to be that guy at this point in my career, but I just want to have fun and look good and make other people look good and give the fans an entertaining show and hopefully build the business a little bit and help build up some of the younger guys in the process.
It is different, right? I'll even say it's kind of weird because when Billy Maverick was having his first run, I would venture to guess a lot of people talked of what's the potential for Billy Maverick, right? Where could he go? What could he do? What could he accomplish?
Yeah.
How high can he go? And
Right.
I don't mean this with any disrespect or whatever else, but it's this time they're probably not saying those same things. It's not like that. It's
No.
just more of a, I would feel that maybe it's a little less pressure on you.
Yeah,
Of trying to
absolutely.
achieve something, and I don't. It's again. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but if Billy Maverick goes out there, has a great match, people are more like, hell yeah, that, you know, Billy Maverick just had a great match. Not ever. Well, he should have had a great match. It's
Yeah.
a different beast, right, for you at this stage.
Right. Yeah. I don't feel like I have anything to prove now. I think I've proved everything that I need to. And, when I was younger, I always wanted to make sure everybody knew that, hey, I'm the guy, this is, and then you had a lot of pressure on you to be the guy.
Yeah.
And now I go in and I'm Billy Maverick and I just do Billy Maverick stuff. And, it's just more fun. It's more relaxed. I just do what I want to do, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have anything
Yeah.
to prove. And some of the people who know some history recognize who I am, and like I said, I get a little bit of respect here and there, but
Yeah.
I don't worry too much about it.
Yeah. Life's so weird, right? Again, I mean, when I'm a 20 something, I cared what everybody thought of me. Now that I'm 50, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care. You can think and say whatever you want. That doesn't, it's not going to change my view or what I do. It's
Right.
with age comes a wisdom, and that's a definite thing. And anybody that knows should have respect for you. I mean, again, I hope having you on here, talking to you a little bit, maybe, pointing out some of what you've accomplished will help that, right? I mean, you have done a lot. And again, I think there would be a different conversation had Billy Maverick come in a different time period. It is what it is, right? I mean, when you're coming in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was a weird time in wrestling.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And, I don't want to sound like I don't appreciate it because I'm very proud of what I did. And I think like I said before, everything I did the right way. I never had heat with anybody. I never disrespected anybody to make myself look better. I feel like that I treated everybody with respect, and I worked the matches the right way, and I never canceled a booking. I never no-showed. I never shot on anybody, although I wanted to. But I never went there. I always kept it professional, and I was always considered a stand-up guy, and I'm very proud of that.
And I again, I can firsthand, I can verify a lot of that, right? It's I ran shows again for, my first running shows for a short while. I believe you were on all of them, if not close to all of them, at least. You were, I think, on all of them that I ran. And I never had to worry about you, right? I always knew you were going to be there. I always going to knew whatever ideas I had, you would do them. I never had to, there were guys that I knew that I was like, I need to keep a little closer eye, or maybe I need to tell a little more to. I didn't with you. I could give you my, my idea of what, this should be, what the finish is or whatever else. Go do it. Go figure it out. Do your thing. I trust you. And that's a great thing to not have to worry about. There's enough pressures with doing certain things that then I have to worry about that.
Yeah,
I'm Oh, go ahead.
no, yeah, I mean, I get that even now. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? And they say, you go do your thing, go tear it up. So, I do appreciate that. I think it's something, not to blow my own horn, but I feel like I've earned that.
Well, that to me, that in within wrestling, that's probably one of the biggest signs of respect, that people just trust and respect you enough to believe in what you're going to do, that it is going to work, and you have, they don't have to give you guidance or advice or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But again, I'm so glad. Again, I've known you for a long time, and again, it's weird, right? You and I, we didn't communicate a lot back in the day, but we had these shows that we did together, and again, communicate however we did, whether it be by email or MySpace or whatever it was in the early 2000s that we
Yeah.
did. But it's funny because it's like here talking to you now, it's like I don't know. I feel like I'm right back in that locker room then. Doesn't feel weird at all. You
Yeah.
don't feel like a stranger. And again, I wouldn't say we were ever close, but I don't know. It's just again, one of those weird things with wrestling.
Yeah,
But I
it's a
am,
brotherhood.
it is,
It's like a family.
it is. And again, I was telling, I told my wife, I told my son everything. Hey, guess who I'm talking to tonight? I'm talking to Billy Maverick. And they're like, oh, I remember Billy Maverick. And you, again, you were one of my kids' favorites back in the day. They always loved Billy Maverick. And it's just fun. I tried to get you to do an interview a few years ago, and you didn't, you weren't at that place where it was a keen thing. I'm glad it worked now. I'm glad I got to talk to you and do this. I'm glad Billy Maverick's back in the ring again.
I got the I just kind of some of the people I have run into lately, and they tell me that I was the reason they got into wrestling. So
Yeah, I believe that.
that kind of makes you feel good too. There's a couple of them that are still doing my brother show, or actually they've done it and they've since retired, but they got into wrestling from watching me. So that also means I'm really old.
Well, I don't know. Age is subjective. It's not about the number, it's about how you feel.
Yeah.
And
Absolutely.
again, I'm telling you, Billy, you look great. I think you look better than back when you were doing those shows for me and everybody else. So yeah, I'm glad Billy Maverick's back. I'm glad you're back doing your thing. I'm so glad you're having fun with it. Again, and I'm also glad I've seen you out there, right? You're back active on social media. So tell people what is a way they can follow you? What's one of the best, How can they keep track of you so they can know where Billy Maverick is, where, you know, where you're working and what appearances you're making?
Well,
Where are you at?
the number one place, if you go on Facebook and look up House of Billy Maverick, and that's my hub. That's where I post everything. I update it at least once a day, sometimes two or three times a day, and you'll get clips, you'll get upcoming appearances, you'll get results, you'll get pictures, you'll also get some archive stuff because Lord knows I've got plenty of that. So if I
Yeah.
run out of content, I can just pull up something from the old days and post
Well,
some memories. But with all the appearances and stuff, that's the number one place right now. If you just go to House of Billy Maverick and give me a follow, and I would appreciate that.
there you go.
Send me a message on there, and I try my best to answer everybody when I can.
Yeah. I think if people go and check out my YouTube, I think I do have one of your old MRW matches up on my YouTube somewhere. I'm not sure who. I'm guessing it's probably a Vinny Vachetti match because I think that's who you worked
Yeah, I think
majority of my shows with.
the chain match is on there somewhere. I don't know if that's yours or his
Yeah,
or whose, but
I don't know. I don't know. I've got one of your matches. I'm sure it's with him. I'm not sure which one it is, or maybe I've got a couple. I don't know. But yeah, there's plenty out there if you go to YouTube and whatnot and Google Billy Maverick. There's plenty of stuff out there to
yeah,
see.
actually, when I did this comeback and I tried to do a Billy Maverick Facebook page, and it got flagged for impersonation.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
impersonating Billy Maverick, and so I looked up who Billy Maverick was, and it's me.
Yeah,
And I said, I'm impersonating myself.
well,
So
I don't know. That's
that's how I had to come up with House of Billy Maverick. So,
yeah, 2026. I guess, you know, if you get flagged for impersonating yourself, it sounds about right. So I
yeah.
don't know. But again, Billy, it's good talking to you. I'm glad you're back out there doing your thing. This has been a long time coming, and I'm glad to talk to you, have you on the podcast. Glad you're having fun. And again, yeah, obviously I'm always watching everything you do, and maybe down the road we'll talk again, and maybe maybe Billy Maverick will have a nice shiny strap around his waist. Who knows, right?
Well, you never know, but
Never know.
I appreciate you having me on, and
Sure.
appreciate all the kind words. And yeah, we'll catch up again here in a few months, and we'll see if I still have this passion, and we'll see how things are going
Absolutely.
if you want.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to Billy for coming on and doing that interview with me. Guys, follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much any platform. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you'll probably find me there. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my other various podcasts. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty on YouTube. You'll find me and hit that subscribe button. Go check out all of the other WrestleCopia Network podcasts. You can find the individual shows on your favorite podcast platforms or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account now, and then download the app on all of your smart devices. All right, guys, like I say every week, just keep an eye on social media. I'll be announcing next week's guest. You know it's going to be fun. And we'll see you right back here then. And until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we've brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.